As you might have noticed, I talk about a lot of weird stuff, so imagine researching all that. As I end up on all sorts of websites, I use incognito mode. But did you know incognito mode isn't enough to hide your browsing history? All your online activity is still 100% visible to a ton of third parties, unless you use ExpressVPN. Without it, your internet provider, mobile network, and admin of your Wi-Fi, like your boss or parents, can still see every website you visit. To avoid that, ExpressVPN reroutes 100% of your traffic through secure and encrypted servers. ExpressVPN is the best VPN, rated number one by top reviewers like The Verge. It's really easy to use and works on all devices. We can't take our online privacy and safety for granted, and I feel very unprotected without my ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/beamazed. That's expressvpn.com/beamazed, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/beamazed.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
If Hollywood has taught us anything, it's that disaster can strike at the worst of times. Usually in the worst possible places and with alarming regularity. These disasters often involve plummeting several thousand of feet from an airplane that's either malfunctioning, hijacked, or overrun with snakes. Sometimes all three. But would it be possible to actually survive a plane crash? And if you could, what happens when you reach the ground? Let's talk about it. First of all, you'd have to be incredibly unlucky to experience a plane crash. According to a study carried out at the Rocklaw University of Technology, the odds of your plane crashing on the way to its destination are 1 in 2 million. You'd have to take that flight every day for the next 5,000 years before it becomes even slightly likely. Even if you were to crash, the National Transportation Safety Board has found that more than 95% of passengers involved in airplane crashes actually survive. However, this statistic includes much more common minor crashes. A serious crash at full speed may not necessarily have such a positive outcome. But all the statistics in the world won't change the fact that plane crashes do happen, albeit rarely, and that is a very real source of fear for many a wary traveler. And rightly so. The ins and outs can vary largely from case to case, but in a worst-case scenario, a plane crash is going to leave you feeling more than a little sore. Commercial airplanes typically cruise at around 575 miles per hour, or 925 kilometers per hour, and crashing at any speed even close to this amount is going to do some serious damage. The main issue is that as the plane decelerates, your body continues to travel forward as the momentum carries you and every other loose object in the cabin. Even hitting water at a shallow angle will result in massive deceleration as the plane adjusts to its new, regrettably terrestrial surroundings. Your body has to decelerate too, pushing and pulling hard against whatever is in front of or around you. Most likely, your body will fly forward, pulling against your seatbelt hard enough to snap your spine. Your head, grown exceptionally heavy from an excess force of up to 12 Gs, according to a Channel 4 documentary investigation, will slam into the seat in front of you, crushing your skull and breaking your neck. If you're really lucky and manage to survive the violent throw, you'll need to get ready to duck, as many loose luggage, trolleys, and even people will soon be hurled towards you. Even the chairs themselves may come loose. If by some miracle you do survive, your troubles are far from over. Fire, explosions, and at the very least smoke all present very real threats to your survival. And that's not to mention the threat of water, which, if you crashed in the ocean, could very quickly be filling the cabin around you. Now, before you have a panic, and trust me, I'm on the verge myself, only by even thinking about this, there are a few things you can do to help yourself out. Firstly, and most importantly, remain calm. When the crash happens, your brain is going to enter fight or flight mode. If you don't take control in this time, you'll find yourself in panic-fueled paralysis. Unable to move, think, or respond, this paralysis, a reaction to the intense shock and trauma, will work against you if the cabin fills with smoke or worse, leave you cooked alive as flames turn the cabin into an oven. Snapping out of confusion and acting quickly may allow you to exit the plane by whatever means necessary. If smoke has flooded the cabin, duck your head down and below the rising smoke and move fast. Smoke inhalation can quickly leave you unconscious or even dead. If possible, cover your mouth with dampened fabric of any kind to act as a gas mask. Now, here's some important pre-planning for all you disaster preppers. Wearing all cotton clothing with long sleeves and long pant legs will keep you much safer than synthetic fibers. Near flames, the latter will shrink, melting onto your skin. The burns from synthetic fibers will be severe enough to kill you, and you won't be able to remove them once they fuse with your skin. Believe it or not, your choice of seat can also influence your likelihood of survival. The forces acting on an airplane in a crash decrease toward the rear of the plane. A 2007 study carried out by Popular Mechanics found that while survival rates at the front of an airplane in a crash were 49%, those towards the back were as high as 69%. Well, at least economy class beats first class in something. You'll also need to count how many seats are between you and the nearest exit. Counting these before takeoff can save your life in the event that smoke obscures your ability to see the exits. With all of this in mind, and after a thorough read of the in-flight safety guide provided by the airline, yeah, I know it's boring compared to the Hollywood movies on your in-flight TV, all you can hope to do is brace yourself for impact. By protecting your head, spreading your weight out, making sure your seatbelt is tight, and keeping your torso as low as possible, you may be able to minimize the damage on your body. These methods may seem far-fetched, what with the whole fiery explosions, insane G-force, and general sense of hopeless despair, but stick around till the end and I'll prove to you that these methods can and have saved lives. They could save yours, so brace yourself. The dust clears, so what now? Ben Sherwood, author of The Survivors Club, asserts that 80% of all plane crashes occur during the 3 minutes after takeoff or in the 8 minutes before landing. These are the times when things tend to go wrong, often involving the landing or takeoff procedures themselves. But let's say you are one of the unlucky few who go down further out in the middle of nowhere and you survive. What happens next? Usually when a plane crashes, the hard impact would trigger the emergency locator transmitter to send out a distress signal so the outside world can rescue you. However, as we've seen with cases like MH370, the Malaysia Airlines flight that mysteriously disappeared in 2014, this technology is limited as they rely on satellites, often with poor reception. So although your best bet is to usually stay with the aircraft, as you'll see, sometimes this isn't always the case. Wherever your plane crashes, your first priority always needs to be formulating a plan. Focus on finding access to water, food, shelter, fire, and signaling capability. Depending on the severity of the crash, some, if not all, of these things may be salvageable from the remains of the plane. But let's imagine for a moment that the plane is no longer available. You've crashed into the sea, salty water has flooded the cabin, and you've just managed to escape to the surface without drowning. Your first priority should be finding a life raft, or at the very least, something you can float on. This will help you to conserve energy and get dry. Stay near the aircraft if it's still afloat, as this will help search parties spot you. Rafts also attract curious birds and fish, which could become your main food source if you can't salvage any supplies from the plane. Rafts are also useful in the unlikely event that predators of the sea come a-knocking. While your chances of being hunted are minuscule, if sharks detect blood in seawater, an instinctive feeding frenzy may occur. The likelihood is that the crash has left you bleeding, so if you feel yourself being nudged by a hungry sea creature, get out of the water as quickly as possible.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A much more serious problem, though, is hyperthermia. And unless you've been fortunate enough to drop into the coastal shores of the Indian Ocean, you'll soon be exhausted and shivering. To conserve energy and reduce heat loss, particularly if you're without a raft, remain as still as possible and float. Your only hope now is that a passing boat or plane spots you. Conservation and wise use of your energy reserves are of equal importance in our next crash site, a snowy mountain climate. Cold is even more of a threat here than in the ocean, so shelter is a priority. Ideally, you may be able to use the fuselage from the airplane or parts of it as a makeshift shelter from the elements. If possible, once any flames have died down, venture into the wreck and fashion warmer clothing out of material from the plane's seats. If neither of these is an option, snow can be used to form a shelter, as its high air content makes it a great insulator. You can eat snow too for hydration, but only if you're moving and active enough to stop it making your hypothermia even worse. But don't get too active. Excessive exertion can make you sweat, and not only will this dehydrate you, but it'll also make you colder. The cold weather will mean your body burns more calories to sustain itself, so you'll need to find food fast, and preferably foods high in carbohydrates, as carbs require less oxygen to digest than fats or proteins. And oxygen is something you'll need to bear in mind, as altitude sickness and mountainous terrain can leave you incapacitated. If you have to leave your location, move slowly to minimize the effects. If you're unlucky enough to crash in a desert, you'll be faced with severe dehydration, intolerable daytime heat, and freezing cold nights. Unless you're absolutely certain you can make it to a settlement under cover of darkness, do not leave the crash site. Parts of the plane may be able to provide you with shade, and there may even be salvageable food and water inside. If not, your hydration needs to be a priority. Despite urban legends, don't drink juice from any cacti you find. Many of these will at best leave you even more dehydrated from diarrhea, and at worst, poison you. Look for damp ground or dry riverbeds and dig holes to search for groundwater. You'd best choose carefully, though, because digging is tiring, and you'll run out of energy fast. If you manage to find a water source and you have no way of filtering it, you're best off drinking it anyway if you're on the brink of death. If help is going to come, it'll be sooner rather than later, so the gamble may be worth it. Your chances of survival are a lot better in more temperate climates like forested regions. Here you'll be able to take shelter under trees, use the branches to fashion tools, and even start fires. Keep an eye out for animals and birds, which, aside from being potential food, are good indicators of nearby water sources. If you find a river and follow it along, you may even be able to find a settlement. But those tips are all hypothetical, right? No one's actually done any of that, have they? Wrong. One of the craziest survival stories of all time is that of Julianne Kopke, whose plane was struck by lightning on its way to Pucallpa, Peru, on December 24, 1971. As lightning struck, the plane disintegrated, and Julianne fell, still strapped into her seat, 2 miles down into the Amazon rainforest. Amazingly, she survived, and with a broken collarbone, a laceration on her arm, and her right eye closed from swelling, she followed a stream through the jungle, which led her to eventual rescue 9 days later. So, if you ever find yourself in a similar scenario, as a general rule of thumb, do what she did. Look for a flowing water source and follow it downstream. Not only will it keep you hydrated, it should lead you to civilization. Most settlements are positioned on level ground next to rivers and streams, so it's generally your best bet unless you're in Africa, as rivers there often end in the middle of nowhere. Now we take to the waves with the tale of Bahia Bakari, the Miracle Girl. On June 30, 2009, a flight bound for the Comoros, an archipelago off Africa's east coast, crashed into the ocean, a mere 9 miles from its destination. all but one of the 152 passengers on board didn't survive, leaving 14-year-old Bahia alone, clinging to a piece of the plane. The decision to find afloat rather than swim for land saved her life, and she was rescued 9 hours later. Historically, crashes on land have had similarly devastating death tolls, particularly in the desert. In the Second World War, Noel St. Malo Jewell, a South African flight mechanic, found himself stranded following a routine reconnaissance mission in the Kufra Desert in Libya alongside the other 12 airmen in his squad. Expecting to be rescued quickly, the men drank 75 liters of water between them on the first day, which soon left them facing severe dehydration. With no supplies and nothing to drink or cool them down except the alcohol in their compasses, which severely sickened those who drank it, everyone but Yule died before rescue finally arrived. Yule's story shows the dangers of not working intelligently as a team in situations like these. Rationing water properly is often the difference between life and death. The story of the Uruguayan Air Force Flight 571 in 1972 is the total opposite. Although their radio transmissions were received by search and rescue teams, they landed on such a remote mountain range covered in snow that search parties couldn't spot the aircraft from the air. After the devastating crash left 28 out of 45 passengers stranded deep in the Andes, survivors soon ran out of food but pulled together in the most difficult decision they would ever make. They agreed to eat the bodies of their deceased fellow passengers. While none escaped the disturbing affair without deep physical and psychological wounds, their rational choice kept them alive for over 70 days and fueled an exploration mission out into the snowy waste, trekking nearly 40 miles to eventual rescue. Surviving by fashioning materials and tools like a sleeping bag made from the airplane's insulation, the group's intuitive focus led to the eventual rescue of 16 survivors. We have an entire episode on this if you want to find out more about it. It's a very interesting and touching story. Despite incredible difficulties and slim chances of survival after horrendous crashes, some people have demonstrated that surviving in the middle of nowhere after a plane crash is indeed possible. You'll need to keep your wits about you, though, and prepare to do things you thought you were never capable of. I really hope you and me never need any of these tips, though, but it pays to be prepared for extreme situations. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and I'll see you the next time you want to be amazed.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.